Hello, and welcome to 3DBPM's Pulse Podcast. I am your host, Davide Scher.
So, hello everyone, and welcome to this first 3DBPM Pulse Podcast of 2022. For this great episode, our guest is Pierre Arkham, founder and CEO of Proto21. For those who don't know, Proto21 is a 3D printing service based in Dubai, which is behind some of the most fascinating and interesting application and volume production cases for the use of 3D printing across a multitude of industrial segments. The company was founded in 2018 by Arkham, a mechatronics professional with 9 years of expertise and industry knowledge in additive manufacturing. Thanks to his hard work, determination, and commitment, Proto21 has rapidly become a leader and one of the fastest growing companies in 3D printing for the MENA, Middle East, North Africa region. We are here to understand how Arkham built a successful 3D printing company in such a short time and to hear more about his outlook for the growth of 3D printing in the MENA area and beyond. So, hello, Arkham, and welcome.
Hi, David. Thank you so much for your time and great introduction. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. So, let's get started. How can you tell us a little bit more about your personal story and how you became interested in additive manufacturing?
Well, David, I was back in a school. I was one of those guys who were nerdy. They won't play sports, and they would be in the art rooms, and they would play with engineering sets and Legos and things like that. So from the childhood, I was interested in arts and then technology together. So, you know, when it came for the time to select my university graduating degree, I was quite confused, and I was always lost that what exactly I want to do. And then I really ended up doing engineering degree in one of the universities in my hometown. And while I was an engineer, I was doing photography. I was doing sketches back in the classrooms. I was making these circuits and robots, and I was doing everything else and not just my studies. And you know, I had to keep myself happy. So when I used to do arts, it used to make me happy. And then based on that, I got an opportunity for a scholarship in the United States, because I used to do a lot of different courses, and it was a scholarship based on that. If some people want to do change in the society and things like that, it was United States educational program for one semester exchange and University of Huntsville, Alabama. When I went there, I took all the courses, but not engineering. So I took American history, I took arts, I took some robotic course and something like that. And that's the first time where I saw 3D printing, to be honest. I saw a desktop, one machine, doodling plastic, and was coming out of it. It was creating objects. It was love at first sight, because in one place, the engineering and arts was merging. And I was like, yeah, all right, so this is a place, this is what the technology is I want to build. And at that time, to be honest, it's 2012, the spring. I had no clue that this is going to be an industry. Sure. I'll be where I am today. It was just a small machine, and I was interested, and I wanted to like literally make it. When I came back to my hometown, I mean, after exchange semester, the professor used to literally laugh at me, because it was, imagine, Pakistan, 2012, when there was not even a 3D printing company anywhere across the world, like that commonly. And I used to tell them, I'm going to make this machine. They used to be like, dude, you have telecommunication engineering degree. Why are you going to make this mechatronics thing? And how would you make it? I said, I don't know, but I will. So one of my friends, Chandar Singh, he was in Malaysia. And, you know, at that time, it was difficult to get some parts. And I spent nights and days in my home lab, in the university labs, like mechanical laboratories, electronics laboratories. And I was just finding out how to do it. And he sent me some equipment. Some people back in USA sent me and teach me something online on Skype those days. There was no Google Meets and these things. And I literally learned and built my own 3D printer. It was the first 3D printer in Pakistan, and it gave me a lot of push. So that's how I got interested, and I've become a 3D printing evangelist. I want to, you know, keep on doing what I'm doing.
Sure. No, that's fascinating. Actually, I've heard a lot of people that they went to school and they had many different interests, and then 3D printing kind of became a way for them to bring it all together in some way. So how did you ended up founding Proto 21 in Dubai. And what made Dubai a place, an ideal place for you to develop and build your business idea?
Sure. To be honest, after my graduation and printer and everything, I realized one thing very important that time, that I don't want to end up like Nikola Tesla, and I want to be a Thomas Edison. I want to be a businessman. So when I was doing my engineering and I was doing all of that, I realized in Pakistan, I would not grow because of the limited opportunities. I wanted to explore myself and go abroad. So I went for master's in mechatronics to Turkey. From there, got an exchange to Germany. And I was doing some courses on, you know, entrepreneurship, technopreneurship in Turkey while my master's in mechatronics. Like, you know, those courses that they don't add anything in your degree, but it's just there and you're interested to learn.
Sure.
So I literally got fascinated and I started doing sales jobs in Turkey. And I started becoming, I also did McDonald's delivery in Germany just to like explore myself. I'm a hardcore engineer, but I wanted to learn how to interact with people. I wanted to learn how to sell. Because at the end, it was my dream to have my own 3D printing company and have a print farm that I have today. And for that very reason, I was like going around. But then honestly, coming to Dubai was like multiple of reasons I came here. Actually, I moved back to Pakistan first after all my graduation and studies and all experience that I want to start that in Pakistan. But 3D printing was banned in Pakistan. It was a big, big, you know, smack on my face. And I said, all right, so either I sit down here and do some marketing and sales jobs, or I just get out of this country and do something better out there. And meanwhile, I was just confused and disappointed and everything. My brother lives in Dubai and he said, why don't you come over here for some time and enjoy some vacation here, because you look very stressed and disappointed, because, you know, with my Pakistani passport, I cannot travel like back to Germany and Europe easily.
Sure.
So I just came to Dubai, honestly, just to visit. And I've heard from a lot of people that they came to visit and they're living here past 10 years. So
I can't imagine.
It's a nice city. It's safe and sound. The weather, I mean, I wouldn't complain because it's okay. I mean, for me now, I'm like used to of it. But when I came to Dubai, I realized, man, this city has so much potential. And I don't see any 3D printing company doing what I want to do in my life. Like what Proto 21, you know, wishes to be. So literally I said, why not start here? And then recently His Highness Sheikh Rashid Al Maktoum had initiated 3D printing strategy. So governments, David, they were pushing for this technology. I mean, literally, which country in the world has it? None. And UAE, they wanted to, you know, governments like literally ADNOC, Minister of Defense, they would call and say, we want 3D printed trophies. I would like, why would you need this 3D printed? You can just buy. They were like, no, it's instruction. It's an instruction that we need it 3D printed. I would like, why? And they will answer that we have to, you know, and we have to like support the 3D printing strategy. Yep. So I kind of realized there that, okay, this is a place. It's nearby my country. I can visit my family back home.
That's great.
And it's safe and secure for Pakistani. It's a nice place because the visa restrictions are not there. And I literally came here in the beginning and I looked for a job first because I wanted to understand that how the market is here, because I was not sure that, you know, starting a company right away, investing and everything would be a right idea. Mm-hmm. I wanted to understand the market is very different than Europe and Germany. It's quite opposite, right? In many ways. So first I worked as a salesperson here in one of the companies. They were kind to me, got me in knowingly that I will start my own. So they thought maybe I would not be able to make it, but now they're my client. Imagine.
That's fantastic.
I do most of their stuff whenever they need in their projects. So I started literally from nothing. I remember I used to sleep in my friend's offices because I couldn't afford. And I once resigned and started the company. And I used to give training courses in the beginning to generate revenue so that I can buy machines. But then got lucky, Joseph Group. I came for courses here to give them training courses because I was very well versed on the technology. And I had an educational background. So in the Germany, I used to teach in universities, the courses and things. In Turkey, the same. In Pakistan also. For the 3D printing, of course, and robotics. So it just worked out. And I found Joseph Group and they invested in the company and they raised the capital. And here we are.
Wow.
We are the largest 3D printing company today. it started all from one printer. Literally, when I came to Joseph, they gave me an office, and I was like, no, I need a lab. I was all over the ground in the office, and you know, I said, I need a lab where I can set up. From one printer, today we have 60, and it's just 3.5 years while we speak.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I think one of the most interesting aspects of Proto 21 is that, because I've been following you for the past couple of years on LinkedIn especially, and you cater to so many different industrial segments. Like you do projects for so many different areas, and you go from really, really advanced and intricate models and prototypes to actual production cases, you know, of several parts. I've seen you print really a lot of parts. So how were you able to build such a varied customer base?
All right. I would like to share a quick story of my logo and the idea. When I was young, I used to teach, and you know, in Pakistan is the easiest way to make money for a young guy.
Okay.
To teach because the tuitions and stuff. I used to give a tuition to my niece, and she once was talking about a hexagon shape and the importance of it in the honeycomb structure. And the bees from different flowers will collect the nectar and put it in the, sure, you know, combine together to make the most healthiest food in the world, that is honey.
Yeah.
So the hexagon idea, it was like from the very core that multiple things work together. Later on, when the idea came, Proto 21, the name, and I was making the logo, the idea was to combine different technologies, David,
yeah,
so that they can aid each other, which is not the case currently. So people have, okay, what as a standard, they have a company and they will say, okay, we are a 3D printing company. Okay, so if you want to have a box, how would you make? They would 3D print. And that's just like dumb. Why don't you just like laser cut a box? You know what I mean? It's,
yeah,
a box. You use 3D printing where it is the best. So we made the factory such that we use different technologies combined together to cater anything that is out there possible. So like a Jackie Chan, you know, as an entrepreneur, I mean, I used to listen to all of these Instagram posts of the motivation and stuff.
Sure.
So Jackie Chan said, be like water.
Right.
It goes to a jug, it becomes a jug. It goes to a glass, becomes a glass. So when you start a company, David, you want to just see what you can make. I mean, if you get an inquiry, and then it's crazy Dubai, people will call you in the middle of the night and say, hey, can you 3D print my daughter's Barbie doll arm because it's broken? And I'm like, no, that's going to cost you more than the Barbie doll itself.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, like, so people will come by to you and ask you, can you make this? Can you make that? And you cannot say no when you're starting up a company, David.
Right.
You have to say yes. I mean, you have to try and research and develop and produce those items. So I did not put a limit to what industry we are going to cater. You know, the companies out there who are literally targeted industries, and let's say the 3D printing business for medical. Yes, they exist. The 3D printers only specific to dental. Yeah.
Yeah.
The 3D printers only catering to the interiors of aerospace or airplanes like Peak and Ultim, you know.
Yeah.
So in my productivity idea, it was a smart manufacturing. Now, a smart manufacturing service bureau wouldn't care what industry or what application of the model is. It would just care how you can deliver the high quality,
yeah,
how you can produce that item cheaper, and how you can deliver that faster. So yep. Industry 4.0, using technologies, combining together, aiding each other, subtract manufacturing, or additive manufacturing, doesn't matter. Many times I get an inquiry for 3D printing and we end up doing with other technologies that we have. So it was just a, you know, such a scenario that whatever the inquiries used to come to me, I was a good salesperson. I used to make
sure.
150 calls a day, okay?
That's
and
great.
On the call center back in Turkey, that's where I'm coming from. So imagine, and then if you get the calls, how nicely you can close. And I used to keep on closing and then figure out how I'm going to make. So somebody asked me, Arkham, can we 3D print an airplane part? I'm like, yes. and I don't really know how we're going to do it. But once you commit and then you find out and then deliver. Imagine.
Sure,
that's
sure.
The way.
And that's really what comes through is really the quality of and the details and the accuracy of some of the things that you've built. But I guess that's also you know, you also need to be able to find the right people. So how many people do you have at Proto 21 today, and how do you get the right people to work with you?
Okay. Today, like yesterday, we are 32 now.
Okay.
And yeah, and of course, some people have left in 3.5 years. So in total, the jobs created in 3.5 years is more than 40.
Sure.
And many people left during Corona. Many people left because they didn't enjoy here. Many people I fired, you know, how normal things are. And as in general, I mean, how do I find people? See, there's a guy in LinkedIn. I forgot his name. I totally forgot his name. I follow him too much, but I like his mentality.
Okay.
So he says, when you're a business owner, when you're an entrepreneur, people don't work for you. You should work for them.
Right.
Like, why are we doing this podcast? Today's a Sunday, David.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what I'm actually doing now, I'm making a whole production schedule for my team to come in the morning, and they just have that schedule and execute. Because the amount of work that we have is so high that it doesn't work other way. But what I'm trying to say is,
yeah,
you cannot find perfect people. You cannot find perfect clients. You cannot find perfect opportunities. You need to find people and make them perfect.
Absolutely.
That is the only way. You need to, like, you know, in a product training, we have a system. We have a beautiful culture. We have a beautiful atmosphere. There's no boss culture here. I've tried to make it Americanized a little bit. So it's a little cool atmosphere. There's no pressure. There's no shouting. There's no any, you know, all those traits found in offices. We are like family and friends. So we go for paintball. We go for nights at dinners and things like that. So it's more of a family. And it's like supportive system. And, you know, I'm doing Gary Vee. Okay, that's the name of the guy. Gary Vee.
Okay.
I have learned. Particularly, I have learned how to manage a team and become a leader from Gary Vee, because he teaches that if your team fails, if people in working in your company fails, you are responsible, not them. It's your responsibility as a leader or entrepreneur,
yeah,
to bring the best out of your people. See, that, if I have a lot of fresh graduates. Yes, sorry.
No. Go ahead. I was going to say that's very true.
Yeah. See, I have fresh graduates all the way from Pakistan and India. They haven't worked anywhere. And people always say on the LinkedIn, hey, don't hire fresh graduates. We need 3 years experience. Man, if you start doing that, I mean, how would those guys get opportunity? Me, myself, when I graduated, I struggled finding a job. Everybody will ask you in Dubai itself, man, when I came here in the beginning, I was struggling. They were like, do you have UAE experience? I'm like, what is that? What does that mean? You know, I've got a master in mechatronics and experience from all over the world. No, do you have GCC experience? I'm like, what on earth is that? And I hired fresh graduates. One of my graduates is Kashif, okay? He's my, I would say, he's my favorite here. Always you have favorites, right? He's the first guy who joined me, David.
Yeah.
I was just alone back then. He was the first, he's my first employee or team member. He came here as a fresh graduate. He saw the printer. He said, Mr. Arkham, I want to work for you and do these printers. I said, do you know what they do? He said, no. He said, what is it? I said, go study and come back. And if you know enough, I'll hire you. He came back in a week's time and he knew everything about 3D printing. I was like, wow,
sure.
You know? And today this guy is like taking care of all my factory. I mean, taking care of all the print farm, I mean, and it's more than like 50 FDMs. And he has two assistants now, and he's doing so well. So, I mean, finding the right people is just impossible. Like, you know, it's the same thing like relationships. They say finding the best partner. I mean, it doesn't exist. You need to find a partner and find the ways to work around them.
Sure.
So that's what it is.
Sure. Yeah. And I mean, and with 3D printing, we've seen it so much that, I mean, it's a relatively new technology. I mean, it's been around for a long time, but it's also, you know, not that many people are familiar with it. So it's kind of funny how if somebody, a lot of people get into the industry, you know, they're young, they don't know anything, but after a couple of years, they're seniors, they're super experienced,
yeah,
compared to anybody who's coming in. Like, everything is moving so fast in 3D printing. So yeah, it makes total sense that you would have I mean, it applies to everything, but even more so in 3D printing. You have to really, you know, develop your team, work with your team. What about, so we talked about the people, what about the machines? What kind of machines do you have today? How do you go about choosing a technology what kind of machines do you use for what types of projects?
All right. So when you ask this question, it's really important to answer, maybe. When you say, like, how do you decide to choose to buy a printer, right?
Yeah.
See, I was a passionate guy before, long ago, like for 3D printing, and I would just buy technologies because the beauty of the technology, yeah, and the beauty of the printer or beauty of the brand. But now I buy technology based on the market requirement, based on how that technology can aid into my existing production system, how my production system in Proto 21 could be more productive, and I could take more leverage as a businessman from that technology, how I can earn more for the company, so I can go bigger and bigger and bigger like that. So it's totally based on business, it's totally based on clients' requirements, it's totally based on quality improvement, it's based on cost reduction. It's like a lot of factors. And trust me, when I'm deciding these things, it cannot be done in a work hours. I have to do that at nights. I have like my home office, and over there, I would just have a lot of papers and flow charts and, you know, Excel sheets. And then it's like a way to find the right technology and right printer to purchase. But as in general, we have around 50 FDMs. We have 50 FDM farms. We are probably the largest 3D printing service bureau for FDM technology. We have 50 FDMs. All the materials are in stock at all times, and we can produce PLA, ABS, and many other, you know, plastic, thermoplastic based materials. Then we've got HP multi-jet fusion technology, that is HP MJF 4200 series printer with the PA12 material. So whenever there's an interior of cars, there's functional equipment, there's end use products for engineering grade plastics, we use that technology. We had Forms Labs printers, SLAs.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that I got Mercedes of the cars. So when in technologies, I go for the best brand and best machine in that particular technology. So FDM is a technology. We have Prusas from Czech Republic. They're the best desktop printers. Also because it allows us to, you know, tweak and turn the specification of the machine because it's open source printer.
Yeah.
But all of the printers that we have in Proto 21 in the print farm are customized, David. Yep. They're not off-shelf from Prusa. We change the specifications as per our requirement.
Yeah.
And then it can produce ABS in a nice manner, and it can work faster. It can work better, you know. And then we have recently acquired two industrial SLAs. So that's 60 by 60 bed.
Okay.
We do a lot of, they're always busy. we do a lot of things with that. But in the end, any model that you see in Proto, I cannot say I use this technology for this application for this industry. No, I just take an order, and then I decide how I'm going to produce. And then it's about with the client. What's most important to the client is quality and delivery, and we want to make sure and then choose the right technologies to produce those items for them.
Yeah, plus it's it's really incredible how many different projects you conduct and you conclude and you finalize. You know, some of them, they really look like they would take like such a long time, and you really keep churning them out. But which are in your opinion some of the most interesting and fascinating projects you've completed recently that you can tell us about?
Okay, when you ask me what is the best project that you've done, it is really biased answer. Because, you know, some projects that look really complicated for the team, for the people out there in the market, and for me is the most easiest. Some of the projects are most easiest for me actually, and people out there also, some of the projects are so difficult for me. And for people out there, it's super easy. It's a simple thing. It's a bottle. Let's say it's a clear bottle. But I know to get that 100% clear, 3D printed resin, how difficult it is for both. But for the people, it's like a bottle.
It's, you know, just a bottle, yeah.
It's going to be a biased answer. Yeah. So let me start with the first best project that we have done that I feel proud of. is 350 prototype models displayed in Expo 2020, David.
Okay. Oh, wow.
They started from a tissue paper. Literally, students, it's an EIYP program. Sorry, YIP program in the Expo 2020. Students all over UAE, they made sketches. And from sketches, the whole work of Project 20 started. So we made the ideation mood boards. We got them approved by from the students. Trust me, these were school students. They ask you 100 questions. And after that, mood boards, we go for 3D files, then 3D files to 3D prints, then paint, then finishes. Then some of them had electronics, then packaging, delivery, installation, maintenance. I think this is for sure going for Guinness Book of Record, but Guinness Book of Record always need money to, you know, showcase your records in their books, but I cannot afford that.
Sure.
So one of the, number two is largest, or I may say longest 3D printed modular park in Middle East, or maybe in the world. It's 32 meters, David. For Adidas. Probably you guys made a post of it, right?
Yes, yes, we saw that. We saw that.
Yeah, it's that. And you know, what's proud about it? Now for people it's like, okay, this is a 3D printed facade like any other in Dubai Mall.
Yeah.
But for me, how I see it, dude, this whole project from 32 meters long has 1,001 pieces.
That's yeah.
And it is printed with the print farm. The entire cost of machines running for 2 months was only 650 dirhams electricity cost.
That's
now,
incredible.
That's why it's my favorite project. All the plastic used in that whole 32 meter facade is coming from industrial recycled plastic.
Yeah.
And because we promised ourselves that whenever I have a company in the future, we're going to use recycled plastic because I'm pretty a lot of plastic, right?
Yeah.
All my
yeah.
life, it's a plastic business. So we went for distributorship and partnership with Filamentum UK, which is a 3D printing filament company.
Mm-hmm.
And we use all the filaments from there for this Adidas project. Furthermore, if I had to go and produce that with any other technology, would be not eco-friendly by any chance. For example, it would be for sure 10 times or 100 times of the electricity cost if I do injection molding or anything, you know?
Absolutely. So where do you think your business is headed now? What are your plans?
Honestly, like whenever somebody asks me what's your plan, I'm like, I'm a man with no plan. Of course,
just
I have
work, right?
Plans. But the long-term plan is one, that before I die, I want to put a 3D printed model that is made out of 3D printed object model or the whole thing made out of Proto 21 is going to space, going
nice.
To Mars and colonizing
yeah.
there. That's my goal of life, let's say.
It could happen. It could happen.
Yeah, why not? I mean, I was just imagining what I have today. I mean, 5 years ago, it was a dream, the same, the one that I told you now. It was that big, you know, for me. But as it plans, I want to have more Proto 21 factories. I want to have a mega factory with maybe 1,000 machines. I want to have, let's say, you know, a big place where not only the 3D printing. So you see, Proto 21, the whole brand and logo has no 3D printing element into the brand image or brand logo. It's like manufacturing, 21st century prototypes, you know?
Yeah.
And I want to have a huge factory, like a mega factory, where not the story doesn't stop at low volume production. I want to go high volume production. So after when you like, you approved the model, you approved the concept, you've done a low volume production, then you go for high volume production. And it's all at one place. So my goal is like, you know, these companies like Materialize or Proto 3000 or Proto Labs. These are my goals and that's what I want to become one day.
That's fantastic. And I'm sorry, Arkan, but this is all the time we have for today, but really this was a great conversation, and I'm sure we'll have opportunities to see, you know, how far you've come
and hopefully to meet in person soon. So until then, thank you very much for participating, and speak again soon.
Thank you, David. It was such a pleasure to speak to you, and thank you for considering me for this interview. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.